Do you want to know what came up when I pulled up my Spotify?
What?
Of course, I don't know any of this stuff. I have the Partridge Family playing on my phone.
Oh my God. I love it.
This is where the party ends. I can't stand here listening to you and your racist friend. I know politics bore you, but I feel like a hypocrite talking to you and your racist friend.
Welcome to My Racist Friend, a podcast about the messy parts of relationships that help us grow together. I'm Amy McKeese.
And I'm Don Griffin. How do you feel about this new Beyonce song?
The Texas Hold'em?
Yes.
I was listening to it on repeat the other day while I was cleaning. And then Spotify was like, oh, you're listening to that? How about some Jim Croce? And I was like, what?
Yeah. White folks are upset.
Oh my gosh. It is so much fun.
White people are upset because black people should stay in their lane.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't want the country lane.
See, I guess you didn't understand what I meant. Like, let's see.
I thought you meant like, do I like it? Yeah, I like it. It's
I like
really
it
good.
Too. But yeah, there are radio stations who have refused to play. There are country radio stations who have refused to play it.
So that's why when Dolly Parton says,
yeah.
Good job.
Yes.
She's modeling for white people how to be a halfway decent human.
This song went number one on its debut without country music stations actually playing it. It's quite amazing. But they are literally...
They're not playing it on purpose.
They're not playing it on purpose because they feel like she shouldn't be doing it. Someone said, hey, Mark safe from not having to listen to Beyonce's song.
What the...
And then several other people chimed in and was like, yeah, I turned that off as soon as I, you know.
But you are friends with too many people.
Texas Proud and Free says, Mark safe from listening to Beyonce's country song today.
And you're friends with someone named Texas Proud and Free.
Well, they're friends with this. And some of these people are like, same, who is Beyonce? They played it on the highway, I changed the channel. I said, why? She's from Texas, so she has a country background, right? I said, she's more country than Keith Urban or Shania Twain, but I bet you're listening to them. One is Australian and the other one is Canadian, and yet you probably have not had second thoughts about listening to them.
And they said, Don, you're right.
No, no one said anything. Actually, I'm really surprised no one's actually said anything, but yeah.
I didn't know anything about that except that my... friend sent me this.
This ain't Texas. Oh, everyone's, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then I started, hilarious. And I love this person now. I watch all of their, they have just a ton
their
of,
little thing.
They're so joyous, and it gives me so much so joy funny. To watch them do their stuff.
Yeah, you see all that. Black people have been doing country for a very, very long time, and in fact, they started country.
I was going to say, this is like the whole Elvis thing, too, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah. The banjo is an African, it started as an African instrument. The only reason why black people abandoned country is when they moved up north. The Great Migration, they wanted to get away from those instruments. The violin, the fiddle, they wanted to get away. A lot of times they were forced to play, you know, on the plantation. When we moved north, we tried to abandon that kind of stuff and started, and that's when we got into jazz. And a lot of people don't understand. Kenny Rogers, some of his greatest hits were written by Lionel Richie.
What is
Lady? It's Lionel Richie. I mean, even the Commodores were somewhat cut. I mean, they're, if you listen to some of the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Three times a lady.
It's country.
Yeah.
It really is. So I don't know. It's just funny how this once again has, you know, something that could be good, right? Mm-hmm. The music isn't dividing our country. It's showing how divided our country is and how racism still, and I didn't say, this is the first time I'm saying racism, but that's what we're talking about. That's racism still.
We've been doing this for 4 years.
I say racism all the time on this podcast. I'm talking about in this particular thing.
I was going to say, that'd be weird that we'd never said racism to this
time. We talk racism all the time, but.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was a thing.
It is. It's a thing every time. Like, okay, the NFL, 3 out of 4 of the quarterbacks were black. People were really rooting. Purdy, good guy, but not as well regarded as the other guys. But people were really, really rooting for this guy, Purdy. Yes, you root for him as the underdog, but also a lot of it was based on the fact that he was the last white guy. Serena Williams, they would be in New York, right? Playing at the U.S. Open. And there would be some German woman or some from some other country.
Mm-hmm.
And and you'd think that they were in her country because they're rooting against this American.
Yeah. Yeah.
Constant.
I just thought that everybody liked Beyonce, like the Beatles or something. Like
she kind of is, but then there's some people that will look at the Taylor Swift thing and Beyonce and try to pick sides. And they're both great artists. I mean, they really are. She came from country. So why can't Beyonce?
Why can't they just it'd be like Freaky Friday?
Yeah, the best of both worlds, right? Bo Duke was the first one to say.
Who's Bo Duke?
John Snyder from Duke and Bo Duke. And he was like,
we don't care about him.
Well, some people do. We don't. Yeah, he was the first one to be like, he has no business doing it, you know.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
We're supposed to stay in our lane. We as black people are supposed to stay in your lane. If you bounce a ball, continue to bounce a ball. You're not supposed to also talk about politics or talk about social justice. Not allowed to do that. If you're a real estate agent, stay a real estate agent. You're not supposed to
stay in your lane, Don. Stay in your
lane. No, I'm just saying it's
dang. For some reason, like on repeat in my head has been that clip from Eddie Gloud, right? Talking about one of the shootings and talking about how people wanted to blame Trump. What he says is, this is us. Like, we can't blame other people. This is just who we are. This is us as a country. This is us. And we have to be able to look at that in order to make any kind of progress. And that partly because his book is on Kevin's little book stack. So I see it. But also, it's an election year. And I'm noticing that lots of other people are also struggling right now. Like, it feels to me heavy. This is probably, for most people, like pulling up a point in history where the polarization became more easy to see. You know, like Trump's inauguration and the Women's March and all of that. Like, I know it was already there. But people were able to see it better.
Even though this is a painful time in our lives, it's good that the veil of American exceptionalism is going away, because if it continued to stay, then we never get better. I mean, remember, we started this because of the Nazis in the doggone
market.
In the doggone market. And if we get them out of the market, then our job is done. Like, racism is gone because they're out of the market.
The other piece of that was there were people who were like, they are such a freakish anomaly that we don't really have to worry about racism. Like, I'm going to keep going and supporting the farmers market because I know that this is a really weird and strange thing that there's open white supremacists there, instead of, oh, maybe this is baked into.
And it's baked into who we are. Yeah. It's not like they didn't have other friends. It's not like some of those people still aren't there. It doesn't have to be that in your face. Yeah, I don't know if anything was really solved by them being kicked out of, and then they weren't kicked out. Yeah, but I'm saying they just I'm not sure anything was solved. If this focused just on this one couple, then the institutional racism that exists in our community still exists. There was a lot of outpouring, but what next?
I was thinking about social media and how we talk about each other and how we talk when someone's in the room with us and when we know they can hear us. And that made me start thinking about those conversations around like the farmer's market and how fraught they were and how hard it was to hear each other. I think for everyone, if it were like some kind of confection with layers of different problems, one of the layers would be white people who wouldn't listen and others that were like, oh, I don't think this is actually true. And others, I remember hearing about black person working for the city having racism explained.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
At the same time, I think because of those conversations and because of those protesters, it pushed a lot of people in Bloomington, I think. It pushed me to really try to understand my own stuff. Like, what assumptions I make when I go to the farmer's market? Like, why had it never occurred to me before that the farmer's market was just super white? Because I remember the city actually hosted these dinners. But what I do remember was hearing white people at the table talk about like their experience at the farmer's market, which, you know, mimicked mine. For me, the farmer's market always felt like a high stakes social event. Like I needed my kids to be pretty well behaved and we probably should be eating like something healthy and showing that I'm doing a good job. There was a black woman sitting next to me, I remember, who was like, why on earth would you go to the farmer's market? Like when you can get exactly what you need. Just somewhere at the else. Grocery on your way home. Like, why were you doing that?
And I have to be honest, I didn't notice that it was a white event either. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because I've grown up here my whole life. And everything, whether it's my high school or elementary school or going to or my the neighborhood I live in or on and on and on, the events I'm in, whether I'm in marching band, whether I'm in, that is my existence. So, and you know me, I go everywhere. Me and my wife, we go everywhere. We're involved. And so the farmer's market was a cheap date for us. It for someone that's not used to that, it isn't a comfortable space. It really isn't, you know?
Okay. So I think actually, the place where I was starting isn't a bad thing to look at.
Okay.
Because this is super overwhelming. And I'm thinking like you walked in here and there was already like a cloud of bullshit around you because Beyoncé wanted to explore a new genre and kick its ass because...
And she is.
And she is, right?
And that's, that should be a positive thing because you're like, damn, this song is catchy. You're like, this is good.
It has literally been playing in my head the entire time we've been talking.
Even music critics are like, this is textbook amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and it is.
Yeah.
And so we should be like celebrating that this black woman is like, putting a spotlight on country in a way that it never has been. You follow me?
Yeah.
Do you realize how much exposure country music is going to get by her tipping her toe in it?
Her magical toe.
Her magical toe. It's you've got black people now listening to, and then you've got white folks who would never listen to country listening to country.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to help. Her collaborations with people? I mean, what's his name? Chris Stapleton?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know who anyone is.
Oh, man.
Don, I know how to file insurance claims.
Well, Chris Stapleton's has an amazing voice. Okay.
Okay.
Amazing voice. Justin Timberlake, who I'm not a big fan of, but Justin Timberlake was on Country Music Awards and they sang a song together. And then that allowed people, other people outside the country, to discover Chris Stapleton, who's just got an amazing voice. I'm sorry, Justin Timberlake is not Beyonce. It took Billy Ray Cyrus and some other folks to really, do you know Lil Nas?
Oh, come on.
I don't know. I listened to the same like three songs over and over. Now, Texas, Hold'em.
Lil Nas's song, they ended up kicking Lil Nas out of the country. They basically said, no, this isn't.
Oh, I do remember reading about this. They said, like, no, I just this don't know country. What the music is.
Lil Nas is gay.
Okay.
And that album was fabulous. Yeah. And then, yeah, Tracy Chapman.
I know who Tracy Chapman is.
Yeah. Well, she did a duet recently with a country music star who redid her Fast Car.
I know. I've seen
that. Did you see
video.
That? Okay.
I did see that.
Yeah.
But really, where I was trying to go with that.
Okay.
We're like worse than cats tonight. The fact of a Beyonce song, which to me registered as, oh, wow, that's a really good song. I would like to listen to it while I clean in the morning. Mm-hmm. Is like something that you have to go through the day, like with people.
Have you seen the video? Have you seen the video?
I've only seen the fabulous gay farmer doing the dances to it. I haven't seen the video.
Okay. It's really, she's making a statement. Ray Charles did the same thing and blew people's minds. Did you know that? Like, Ray Charles came out with an all country western song.
What? Did he really?
That song album. Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. And it was freaking amazing.
Huh?
Yeah. Ray Charles did the same thing and just like blew everybody's mind.
Wow. Yeah.
But on the video, if you watch the video, you know, she's dancing, you know, she got on her stuff that's Beyonce. She's showing her legs and all this other stuff like Beyonce does. Because she can do that. She's beautiful and she does that. But the last thing she does is she turns around. She's got chaps on. It's showing her ass. She's showing her ass. She's like, turns around. There's no freaking reason for her to do that except to basically say, kiss my ass. There's no other reason to do it because she knew what kind of shit storm she was going to do. And she just walks off, and that's the last thing that you see of her.
Well, now I know what we're watching tonight.
It's hilarious.
This episode of My Racist Friend is a production of the Bloomington Center for Connection, an organization using relational cultural theory to promote social change through connection. This conversation between Don Griffin Jr. and Amy McKeese, LCSW, took place on February 26, 2024, in Bloomington, Indiana, and was edited for this podcast by Kevin McKeese. Theme music lovingly sampled from Your Racist Friend by They Might Be Giants. Follow Bloomington Center for Connection on Facebook and other social media platforms.
Go buy a Beyonce tape. Go buy the LP, you know. Maybe that's how I can help that cause, you know.
Yes. So, yes.
Yes. Or if she needs a tambourine, man, I guess I can do that.
Can you?
No.
Oh.